Continuing our Ask an Expert program, we're taking a closer look now at how all the buildings and bridges could fare in the face of our own big earthquake. We're turning to Michel Bruneau, civil engineering professor at the University at Buffalo. He's an expert in earthquake-resistant design and seismic retrofitting and the author of the book, The Blessings of Disaster, The Lessons That Catastrophes Teach Us and Why Our Future Depends on It. Professor, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here with you today.
So how set are we in terms of building, construction, retrofitting in the Bay Area for that next big one that we all know is coming?
So there's good news and bad news. I think the good news is that the building codes in California have improved tremendously over the past decades and pretty much reflect the state of the art nowadays. There's still a couple of issues, though. One is that most of the provisions in building codes focus on what is called life safety. And the second is the fact that we have a lot of infrastructure built with codes that are obsolete because they're older buildings. So let me explain a little bit. The life safety issue is essentially, it's a minimum standard. The codes provide minimum design standards. And the approach that has been taken by codes over the years, building codes, is a little bit like a car crash analogy. So if you crash a car on the wall at, 30 miles an hour, you'll have the cripple zone at the front, the airbags, the safety belt. Everything is there to save your life, but not to save the car. And the car might be a write-off. So that's good news, but it's a bad news at the same time because it means a lot of your infrastructure will essentially be to be rebuilt or repaired or maybe a write-off. And so there's exceptions to that, and the Christchurch experience that I can talk to you about in a moment, if you wish, we'll show that. And the other issue is the fact that we have a lot of older infrastructure that has been designed at a time where the knowledge in earthquake engineering was not what it is today. And so you can think in some terms, in terms of unreinforced masonry buildings, older reinforced concrete buildings built maybe before the 1980s at a time where the knowledge wasn't quite there to figure out how to make those earthquake safe. And so some laws and provisions have happened over the years in some jurisdictions to try to bring these buildings up to date. In some cases, it's been successful. In some other jurisdictions, it's been a lot of pushback because, we know what to do generally, and we know how to do it, but it's like me telling you that vegetables are what you should eat, and you all know it, but you'll probably prefer the French fries in the end, right?
That's right.
We know what to do, but we don't always do what we should do. So, for example, I was in Napa Valley a few months ago, and I ran into a winery where there was a sign at the door that says, this is a building made of unreinforced masonry building that could collapse during an earthquake. Well, of course, everybody walked into the building because you figure out that you're going to be there for an hour and the odds of dying with a belly full of wine crushed by masonry is probably one in a million. But for the folks who work there 8 hours a day for 30 years of their lives, that's the chances become one in six, right? So at some point, we have to do something with the buildings that are deficient. By today's standard, what we would consider to be acceptable nowadays. And it's a difficult task. It involves money. The technical stuff is there.
Sure. Let me ask you this question, though. We got, we and the rest of the country got some disturbing news the past couple of weeks about maintenance on bridges. We have a lot of those here in the Bay Area. What are the chances we could see something catastrophic with those bridges, like we did in the Loma Prieta earthquake on the Bay Bridge, 20 years ago?
Well, it's interesting you mentioned the Loma Prieta earthquake, because what has happened after that earthquake, as well as after the Northridge earthquake a few years later, is that the Department of Transportation accelerated its seismic retrofit program. And there's been massive investments to bring bridges up to speed. So that will, in many ways, prevent a lot of the worst things we've seen during those earthquakes in the past. I think this California retrofit program is pretty unique nationwide, and it's very good. Does it prevent, can anybody come out there and guarantee 100% success on every possible bridge that you can think of? Well, there's always variations and probabilities, but I think things are at a very good state. And there's, lifeline routes that are special routes that have been designed to make sure there would be no damage to those bridges to ensure, prompt response and recovery following earthquakes. That's for the state-owned bridges in particular. So you won't see bridges falling off their supports like we've seen some of them in the Myanmar earthquake pictures that, you know, that we used to see in California following earthquakes before. I would say the chances are of that happening are pretty low nowadays, and that's good news. But it still does it mean that every bridge will not have any damage? No, there'll be probably some that will have damage, but it will be life safe. Yes, probably life safe. There will be no casualties on the bridges. They might need a little bit of repair. Might be some of them might not be usable for a short period of time, but will be easy to repair and not complicated as it was, I would say, 40 years ago, because of these retrofit programs that have been taking place. And in many cases, some of the bridges will have no damage and no repair needed. Now, of course, it's always proportional to the size of the earthquake, right? People have to realize that the bigger the earthquake, the closer we get into this threshold of damage. And that's one thing that you have to keep in mind, that the Loma Prieta earthquake and the Northridge earthquake were in the 6 range, 6.6, 6.5, I believe, in terms of magnitude, where the one we've had in Myanmar recently was 7.7. And 7.7 is not something that is impossible. It's, in fact, predicted to be very likely to happen in many parts of California over the next decades. Nobody can tell you exactly when. That would be a feat of the divination that's beyond what can be done today. But we can tell you probabilistically that it's likely to happen, and that's what we deal with in engineering, with in probabilistic terms. Now, that's a problem because as human beings, you know, as soon as we deal with probabilities, we're all pretty bad at it. We don't have a good connection with probabilities, and there's a lot of good examples in the book, The Blessings of Disaster, where I illustrate somewhat examples of how we do badly with probabilities in a funny way. But that, and as well as a number of other things that we have as part of our human nature, makes us sometimes, and quite often actually, deny the risk. It's like if we don't see it every day, it doesn't exist. But the reality is, it is there, and it's likely to happen at some point in the near future.
Professor, thank you very much. That was Michel Bruneau, civil engineering professor at the University at Buffalo, an expert on earthquake-resistant design, and the author of the book he just mentioned, The Blessings of Disaster, The Lessons That Catastrophes Teach Us and Why Our Future Depends on It. You can listen to the entire interview, both interviews, and on past Ask an Expert on the Odyssey app. Download the app to your smartphone and favorite KCBS radio. The interviews are posted in the on-demand section, or you can listen to them, utilize the rewind feature to listen back to them.